Scripture that I want to share with you today, 2 Thessalonians 3 and 16. This is one of those verses that you read it at the end of one of Paul's letters, and it's at the end, there's a closing, and then you're ready to move on to the next one. But the more you look at this verse, the more meaning and significance comes, particularly for issues that we deal with day by day. Would you stand with me? We want to read from 2 Thessalonians 3 and 16. Praise God. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 16. This is one of those verses that you can memorize. Out of all of the thousands, hundreds of thousands of verses in the book we call the Bible, many that we can memorize, and they become inspirational to us. They become support and strong, like the song that the Ingalls and Bartletts did. The Lord said it. Praise God. The Lord says. And we hold on to that. This is a good one that we can memorize here today. And actually, it's a pretty simple one to memorize. Now the Lord of peace himself, say that. Give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. There you go. You've got it memorized now. Just a real simple presentation from the Word, but yet so powerful. Amen. You may be seated. Now, when we speak of peace, at least in the media, it's not a spiritual peace or a personal peace that is directed. It's world peace, or the lack of world peace. And I thought of the conditions of the world at the time of Christ and the time of the apostles. And it wasn't really a rosy situation then either. Now, they obviously didn't have the technology that we have. They didn't have the ability to travel and communicate and those various aspects. But there were some situations that lended themselves to the spread of the gospel, which was good. And then there are numerous things that hindered the gospel. And that's, I suppose, how it's going to be till the end of time. In the time of the Lord, there was Greek knowledge and education. The library at Alexandria was amazing. The Septuagint, the Greek translation of the scripture, was something that put the verses, the Word of God, into the hands of many more people than those who knew Hebrew. So it was more, a little bit more widespread, certainly not like the way we have it today. Roman rule was conquest with cruelty, harsh and heavy rule. Some justice, some government that would be beneficial, but still very much an empire ruled by an emperor. And the saying that all roads lead to Rome, I suppose, was philosophical in some ways, but the reality was that there was an advanced, at least for that time, an advanced transportation system, and that helped with the gospel. AD 70, however, most of the New Testament written prior to the year 70 AD, but in that year, a Roman general named Titus destroyed Jerusalem, desecrated the temple, and brought ruin and havoc to the people of God. And so the readers of the book of Revelation then could relate to the destruction and the difficult times, even though it may be hard to imagine. It may be hard to grasp the concept of peace, yet they were living what God could bring and could provide. And so, even in our drastic world conditions, thank God there's peace that the Lord is able to speak into the situations. The concerns of climate change and the catastrophe that it might bring, the economic outlook being shaky, much medical progress, but seemingly the bacteria evolving, as it were, and becoming even more immune to antibiotics. The trouble, the trauma, the terror, the threats, on and on it goes. There are situations that would cry out for peace. And we know the scripture declares that the Antichrist is going to step forward, supposedly with answers. And that's what is going to be the open door. That's what is going to provide the welcome mat for the Antichrist, because it will seem as though he has answers for all the dilemmas of mankind, all of the situations that exist upon the earth. And the Bible lets us know it's going to come to pass. They will cry out, peace and safety. But then come a sudden destruction. So we know that these are the events that are about to unfold upon the face of the earth. And there's not a whole lot that can be done as far as the peace of the world is concerned. But when I thought of that, I thought, what about the peace of my world? What about peace in our world, the circle of influence that we are able to exercise, the light and salt that the Lord told us to be, how we can be the peace of God, how we can bring the peace of God into circumstances and situations, and know that through prayer and through worship and through faith in our God that the Lord is going to be able to do the work. Amen. I saw in Psalm 34, Brother Ricky, in verse 14, that we depart from evil and do good. We seek peace and pursue it. Amen. It's not just something we hope for. It's not just something we wish for. We depart from evil. We do good. The depart and do is something that is our responsibility. And then to seek peace, to pursue peace, to let it be something that we are desiring. Praise God. And the hand of God then being able to manifest what he desires to put in place. I think about Peter in prison. If there was ever a place that he would not perhaps feel at peace, for all practical purposes, he's on death row. James was beheaded, and now Peter is in prison because the king recognizes it pleased the people, and he is then going to be next in terms of giving his life. Not a place of peace. But when the angel came with deliverance for Peter, what was Peter doing? He wasn't wringing his hands. He wasn't sobbing and crying. He wasn't beating his head against a stone wall. He wasn't doing any of those things. He was sound asleep between two soldiers. Oh, yeah, I'm glad that our God is a God of peace. And the Lord of peace himself can give us peace always by all means. Hallelujah. And the Lord be with you all. Ah, I believe Peter was demonstrating that and recognizing how God would be there regardless of whether there was destruction or deliverance. The Lord would be there. Thank God there was deliverance. And in Acts 12, we read the story and understand how good it was that the Lord could dispatch the angel and the shackles fall off. And he had to put his sandals on. He had to put his garments on. And then the doors opened by themselves. There are some things that God will do in a miraculous way. There are some things that you do. Amen. To aid in the fulfillment of the miracle. But I like the way Peter was confident that he could go to Mary's house and know there was a prayer meeting going on for him. Amen. He interrupted the prayer meeting, and the expressions of faith or the lack of faith are almost amusing. It's Peter's ghost. They've already killed him. Our prayers haven't been answered. And oh, thank the Lord. In our human frailty, in our human difficulty of trying to grab hold of situations and understand, thank the Lord, he is there to minister peace. Thank God for the power that he is able to bring forth. Praise God. Now, Hebrews 12 and 14 tells us, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. The emphasis oftentimes is on the second part of that verse, and indeed, it is very important. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord, is how a modern translation renders that verse. And we know our departed Brother Treece would put it so plainly. Whatever holiness is, you better get it, because you won't see God without it. Amen. And thank the Lord that we're able to make a change in our hearts and lives because of the peace that our God gives to us. Amen. Thank the Lord for His power, and thank the Lord we can please Him. The Bible says, when a man's ways please the Lord, He makes even his enemies to be at peace with Him. We want to please the Lord. Oh, yes, we do. And Psalm 69, 30 and 31 would tell us what is better than ox or bullock. What is better than hoofs and horns and all of the sacrifice that Brother Bartlett taught about today in the Bible lesson? I'm so thankful we don't have to work in our worship unto the Lord in that manner, but we can praise His name in song. We can magnify Him with thanksgiving. That is what pleases the Lord, and we know His goodness to come forth. Gideon's altar, before he stepped forth into a tremendous miracle and deliverance by the hand of God, the altar that he made unto the Lord, he called it Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. Oh, thank God. We can follow peace with all men, in our family, in our marriage. Marriage was God's idea. The family is God's plan. And since he is the architect of those relationships, thank God, he's able to make them work correctly. He's able to help them function right. He's able to heal the wounds, perhaps, that comes at times in those situations. But I'm thankful the closer we get to God in the relationship triangle, the closer we get to the Lord, the closer we come to each other. Thank God that the peace of the Lord is there. The Lord of peace. In Isaiah 9 and 6, a passage that we often read at Christmas time, the child that would be born, the son that would be given, thank God that we can know his power and his blessing. And the scripture says his name is Wonderful. His name is Counselor. He is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Thank the Lord for the power that he's able to make known to us, and of the increase of his government and peace, the Bible says, there is no end. Oh, I'm thankful he never runs out of peace. I'm thankful his peace that he dispenses and distributes to us, that he provides for us in times of turmoil and tribulation and trouble, test and trial, all these difficult times. His peace never ends. Praise God. What a mighty Lord that he's able to provide that peace for us. He told us in John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm thankful that he makes the distinguishing statement. It's my peace that I'm giving to you. Don't confuse it with the peace that comes from the world. Don't let it be something that is based on circumstances or finances or comfort or convenience or any of these things that people would describe as being the means to have peace in our lives. I'm thankful that the peace that the Lord gives is not based on all of those circumstances and all of those situations. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Thank God we can put our trust in him. And that's the second time he made that statement, John 14 and 1, and then on down to verse 27, he says it again, let not your heart be troubled. Oh, I'm thankful that we know the peace of God and the power that he's able to minister into our lives. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, the apostle wrote, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Thank the Lord that there can be that power that the Lord would make known to us. He taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thank God we can make him the Lord of our lives. We can put him upon the throne of our hearts and know that his kingdom can abide within us. And we enjoy that righteousness, peace, and joy. See, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. The apostle said, there's no law against those things. There's nothing wrong with them that they've got to be corrected. There's nothing that needs to be made right there. Thank God, the Lord provides all of that blessing and all of that increase. I like the way Peter, in both of his letters, in chapter 1 and verse 2, it's interesting. Chapter 1 and verse 2, he makes the statement almost identical. And Jude follows suit with that. There's only one chapter of Jude, but for intents and purposes here, we'll call it chapter 1, verse 2 as well. Grace and peace be multiplied. Oh, there's an abundance that God wants to bring to us. Amen. Jude says it, peace and love be multiplied. Thank the Lord that there would be that means that the Lord would provide for us through his peace. And his peace even passes understanding. Paul wrote in Philippians 4 and 6, be careful for nothing. That doesn't mean be careless. He's saying don't be anxious. Don't worry. Don't be overwrought. Don't be overwhelmed with the problems and difficulties that you face. But in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And this is the part I really like. Oh, I'm thankful there's an invitation to prayer. I'm thankful it opens the door. Every situation and every circumstance we can bring before the Lord, it doesn't matter. He's able to answer and provide. And then it goes on to say, and the peace of God that passes understanding shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. While I'm waiting for the answer, while I'm calling upon God, while I'm believing him for the direction and the needs that I call upon him for, I'm thankful for his peace that keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, yes. Amen. By all means. By all means. Praise God. That's an interesting phrase that we use, isn't it? You want to go out and eat after church? By all means. You want to go to Golden International? By all means. Yeah, we use that phrase time and again. It means certainly. It means of course. It means absolutely. It means without fail. Now, the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. Amen. Now that doesn't mean that he just snaps his fingers and the angels are dispatched to sprinkle peace on your heart and mind. It doesn't just simply mean that the Lord touches your body, that the Lord ministers in a particular way, that his promises are fulfilled, and on all of the instances would go. By all means indicates that he went to the extreme measures to provide you peace. Colossians 1 and 20 says that he made peace by his blood. The once and for all sacrifice, the sacrifice that we look to, that is the end of all the other animal or blood shedding that needed to be done. Thank God that he would go to that extreme to provide peace for us. The disciples witnessed the cross. They walked to the tomb. Perhaps in the 3 days between his burial and his resurrection, they would visit it. We know the women did. We know that they were there. And oh, I'm thankful that the Lord in that time of turmoil, in that time of trouble, would understand what was going on in the hearts and lives of those who followed him for 3 years. And that's why 4 times he would declare unto them following his resurrection, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Thank God, the Lord of peace himself will give you peace because he gave himself. He gave himself. Thank God. That is a passage or a phrase that you'll find in the Word of God time and again. Galatians 1 and 4. He gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Galatians 2 and 20, he loved me and gave himself for me. Ephesians 5 and 25, Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. 1 Timothy 2 and 6, he gave himself a ransom for all. Titus 2 and 14, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar or a special people, zealous of good works. Oh, I'm glad he gave himself. The Lord himself was in Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God that there would be that aspect of peace that he could provide for us. And it's always, everybody say always. We know the peace of this world lasts for just a little while. It's here for just a short while, and then it's gone, regardless of what price we paid for it, regardless of where we had to travel for it, or any of those aspects and indications of it. But oh, the peace that comes from the Prince of Peace can have no end. Glory to God. His mercy endureth forever. He loves you with an everlasting love. Thank God for all the eternal aspects of our God, and certainly his peace likewise is that way. John would begin the book of Revelation by saying, "Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come." He was recalling to mind that there is a past, present, and future aspect to what God is able to do in our lives. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, glory to God. I'm thankful that's the way his peace is as well. His peace brings, or his presence rather, brings that peace. His presence brings power. His presence helps you pass through all of your problems. And thank God that the apostle would recognize that and declare, "The Lord be with you all. The Lord be with you." We look back at the story of Joseph and we recognize the Lord was with him. Four times in the divine record, that phrase is there applied to Joseph in the troubles that he went through. And thank God he went through those difficulties, not giving up, not putting an end to his trouble, not feeling like he could destroy himself and be done with it. No, he went from the pit to Potiphar's house, to the prison, to the palace, to become prime minister, if that's what we can call him. Thank God, because the presence of the Lord was there. The Lord be with you all. Amen. Oh, those who persecuted the church, those who opposed the spread of the gospel, had to take knowledge of the apostles that they had been with Jesus. And probably they were referring to a historical aspect. Probably they were thinking, that's past, that's over and done with, it's going to wear out, it's going to pass over. They're not going to be able to maintain the intensity and the ability that they have now to fill Jerusalem with their doctrine and turn the world upside down and all of these aspects that they give credence to those who followed after the Lord. But the reality was, thank God for the power of the Lord. They had followed Jesus for more than 3 years. They saw the power of his miracles. They heard the power of his truth. They were in his presence. And they knew the peace that he could speak as he calmed the troubled sea. The peace that he could bring as he delivered the man from Gadara from thousands of demons. Oh, our Lord has power to bring peace. Thank God for what he is able to bring forth. And now these disciples were walking in the power of the Spirit of God. Oh, I'm thankful we can follow his presence. Flee from temptation, but follow his presence. Amen. Continuing on with our walk with God. And so, I end with the word that began the verse. Now, the Lord of peace himself give you peace always, by all means. The Lord be with you all. Now, that's got to be in our hearts. Now, that's got to comfort our minds. Now, that's got to be in our lives. And thank God, no matter how the devil attacks, no matter how he tries to deceive and bring forth his lies, no matter what he tries to do, I'm thankful that can be now in my walk with the Lord. Now is the time to have the peace of the Lord. Amen. When I'm in a hole in the ground and they put a marker over my grave, rest in peace. I'm thankful that that will be fulfilled, but I want to rest in peace now. Amen. Well, I'm above ground, praise God. Rest in peace. I don't have to have a sign around me to indicate that. I'm thankful my life can show it. I rest in his peace. I call upon his peace. Hallelujah. And I know I'll rest in peace forever. Thank the Lord. Would you stand with me now, please? Oh, thank God for the peace of our Lord. A peace that passes understanding. A peace that keeps your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. A peace that knows no end. A peace that will be there always. By all means, our God provides that peace. Praise God. Amen. When there's too much month at the end of the money, I'm thankful our Lord is there with peace. Praise God. When the doctors shake their head and say there's nothing else that can be done, I'm thankful we've got peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When there are things that happen we don't understand, oh, I'm thankful for the peace of God that passes understanding. All the situations of life that we go through, amen, I put my hand in the hand of the Lord of peace, and I keep going, I keep walking, I keep following, because he's going to lead me to that eternal peace where nothing is going to deceive, nothing is going to distract, nothing is going to defile. Praise God. There's no more tears, because he's going to wipe them all away. Amen. God's going to do that. The Lord himself, hallelujah, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want that peace to keep me now in his hands. Let's just raise our hands and love the Lord right now. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Munde halolo hosa kapatano momaya. Himela recutendo o passando la radiende pai. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, precious Lord, precious Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now the Lord of peace himself is here right now to minister to your needs, to minister to your situations. Amen. To give peace, to give strength, to give healing, to give comfort. Whatever the need is, I'm thankful we can bring it before our God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you come now to a place of prayer? Come and kneel, come and stand, come and sit in the front rows, whatever is good for you, but let's come and bring our needs before the Lord. Amen. Let's believe the Lord together right now. Let's put our trust in him. Hallelujah. Let's believe him. Thank God. Oh, yes, we believe the hand of the Lord to minister in our lives. in our situations, in our needs. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the powerful name of Jesus. Come on, let's reach out to the Lord together. Let's reach out to the Lord together. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We bring our needs before you now. Our trust in you. Call upon you. Oh, Savior, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord.
He controls the
Shalala.